actually a good spot. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are so glad that you are here. There are so many ways to learn about our worshiping community. In your hand is a bulletin where there are calendars and announcements of the ways that we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. We do have a few other announcements this morning, so we'll go ahead and get started. Tracy.
Good morning, everyone. Just wanted to let you know about the next GPC Day of Fellowship, I'll call it. The Clinker Bricks Race Walk will be June 29th. You may sign up online if you want to walk or run, or see me for a paper registration form. And there's also volunteer signups on the kiosk. If you can't help that day, there's a few things prior to that day that we would need your help as well. So thank you.
Today is the last day of our spirit journey. Melissa will be leading us in a discussion of heaven. So we'll be holding that after worship in the adult lounge, and it doesn't matter. Room two? So, I'll have to move my food. There'll be food. and it doesn't matter whether you've been on any other legs of the journey, you can still come today, so please join us.
The great news is that they have begun the Green Island Basic School renovation. Yes, yay. And part of this project was a GPC work team going down to do some of the finishing work. We have a date for that, August the 17th through the 25th. I invite anybody that's interested in doing that to please see me, and I'll give you all the details. Thanks.
Good morning. Have you seen the bumper sticker, "Have you hugged your kid today?" Well, today is "Have you hugged your Sunday school teacher?" Because they have been wonderful. And today is the Sunday school teacher appreciation tea. So make sure you join us after service. Thank you.
Good morning. How's everybody? A little blurry, a little less soggy this morning. First of all, thank you, God, for holding off the rain until after the sale. That was very helpful. Thanks to everyone who donated, who schlepped, who priced, who sorted, who carted, who cleaned up, the bakers, the gardeners, everyone. As we change how we measure the success of our events by community reaction, we welcomed about 500 people through our doors. And for those of you who want to do the math, after expenses, we netted about $10.71 from each of those people. There are some items remaining in the fellowship hall. They'll be available after worship. $3 a bag today, $30 for a partial bag. And Salvation Army will be coming tomorrow morning to pick up everything that's left except for those targeted donations. So if there's anyone available to help us get that stuff out of there early in the morning, that would be great. Just let me know after worship. Thanks, everyone.
And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you. to join me in the call to worship. Spread your open hands towards heaven.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
The Lord is like no other God.
Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Come together to pray and praise. The Lord has made us. Hallelujah. To the Lord we belong forever. Amen.
In our time of worship and prayer, we bring our entire selves to God, all that which we celebrate and sing, and that in which we bring in confession our brokenness. Please join me in the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. O Lord our God, we confess to you our unfaithfulness, our divided loyalties, our dancing around the truth. We look for human approval instead of seeking to serve you. We answer to human authority instead of listening for your word. Turn our hearts back to you. Consume our sin with holy fire and set us free to sing your praise. This is the gospel, the good news we have received that our Lord Jesus Christ loves us and gave his life to set us free from our sins. Hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, that's better. We're getting there. Have you ever heard the expression, it takes a village? You ever heard that expression? It takes a village? Anybody? Well, sometimes people will use that expression, it takes a village to raise a child, or it takes a village to be happy, it takes a village to be healthy. And here's what it means. It means that it takes a lot of people in your lives for you to live and have a happy, healthy life. Let's think of some of those people. Your parents, maybe your grandparents, your aunts and your uncles, your teachers. You're counting for me. Good, that's great. Your teachers at school and your teachers here at church school. Maybe your doctor, perhaps your pastors. It takes a lot of people who care and love you in order for you to be happy and healthy. How many did you count? You counted 10. So that's 10 we know of, and there are lots more out there. So that Bible story today is a story of how it took a lot of people to make a man well. There was a very, very sick man. In fact, he was dying. And his friend was very worried. But he heard that Jesus was coming to town. Jesus was coming into his village. And he so believed that Jesus could make a difference and heal this man that he sent his friends out to get Jesus and to ask Jesus to come and heal the man. And guess what? The man was healed. He lived. So it took a lot of people to make this man well. It took his friend, and it took all the messengers to find Jesus, and it took Jesus. It took a village. So while you're next week, you might want to give a little thought to who's in your village, because each one of you has a village. Each one of you has a lot of people who make your life happy and healthy and who love you so much and who let God's love flow through them. So let's have a prayer. Loving God, thank you for the people in our lives who help us live happy and healthy. Thank you for your love. Amen. Okay, you may go to your classes.
The first reading of the word this morning is from Psalm 96. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be reverent above all gods. For all the gods of peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
Mm-hmm.
Our second reading of this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. After Jesus had finished all his sayings, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking Jesus to come heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him, earnestly saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him and said, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. But only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at the centurion, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Upon first meeting someone, there are a few seemingly polite questions we might ask to learn about that person. So think about the last time you were away somewhere and met a stranger. The first question that is often asked is, "So where are you from?" Since moving to Rochester, I have learned that to outsiders, Rochesterians are well known for a few things: the fall of Kodak, a lot of snow, the garbage plate, and though I did not understand it when I first moved here, I proudly admit to being a loyal groupie of Wegmans. Now, before you all get too comfortable, I have to make a confession that my efforts of assimilation here in Rochester are great. There is still one aspect of being a Michigander that I will never let go of. It goes pretty well unnoticed until this time of year. And as many of you may already be aware, no matter how many bumper stickers or jerseys that are around us, Matt and I will continue to teach our children that the Detroit Tigers are the only hope of defeating the evil empire, the New York Yankees. Though I will say, our youngest isn't necessarily buying into this inherited identity. As we were at Target the other day and I was pointing out the Yankee t-shirts, she said, "They aren't evil, Mommy, just people playing baseball." They are just people playing baseball. Which leads us, of course, to the next question we ask a stranger to learn more about who they are. What do you do? The Yankees are people who play baseball. Who am I? When I'm asked that question 99% of the time, I am delighted, ecstatic to answer that I have the privilege of doing what I love most, serving God, reading and teaching the scriptures and following Christ in a community that is Gates Presbyterian Church. Yes, I said 99%. There is the 1% of time, which is the isolated incident when I'm trapped on an airplane and the person next to me asks me, "So what do you do?" Well, normally when I answer that honestly, the conversation turns to them trying to convince me of the right way to believe, which doesn't normally include women being pastors. Or they want to spend time telling me all about how they hate the church and God because of the church. Anyway, that's another sermon. We can learn a lot about a person from those two simple questions. And for many years, it wouldn't surprise any of us to have heard the third question that normally followed. So what church do you go to? For the longest time, people asked that question, not as a litmus test to see if you attended church or not, or even to try to tell you about the right way to believe, but simply because attending a Christian church in America was the assumed norm. When asked, "What church do you go to?" the response simply held truth about the person's identity. Years ago, when Protestants learned that someone was a Catholic or a Jew, it meant that we could be in polite conversation with one another. We would respect each other, but it wasn't likely that our social circles or families would cross. It wasn't likely that we would become close friends. I am sure most of you have noticed that this doesn't necessarily hold true anymore. A lot has changed over the last few decades, and these assumptions are no longer the norm. We don't need political or religious rhetoric or even statistical analysis to prove that this shift is true. We only need to look at our own families to see how these changes and how we understand ourselves in relationship to others has changed. Because we can remember when it was a scandal that Cousin Anne married the Catholic boy from the other side of town. And now, many of us are trying to figure out an order of worship and who presides at a wedding ceremony when our brother marries a Jewish girl he met in college. And it's all too familiar to all of us to hear about our children we raised their whole lives in the church and are now adults, who are among the growing statistics of those who claim to be spiritual but not religious and no longer attend a church. We worry about them, of course, what they might be missing. We, being the parents and pastors and church members or both, also worry if there was something we did wrong along the way. What does it say about us? These changes are happening at an extremely rapid pace, and many of us, as a result, are struggling with some very basic questions about what all this means concerning our own Christian identity. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ today when so many have different ways of expressing and understanding what that very word means, Christian? And how are we supposed to embrace those whom we love but believe so differently from us? And often we wonder, what in the world is God up to in the midst of all this? First, the questions about religious identity are not new. Throughout Hebrew scriptures, we have stories of the Israelite people working out their identity as the people of God, when so many around them worshipped the gods like Baal and El and Asherah. Storm gods, fertility gods, sun gods, moon gods. And the scriptures say, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you shall have no other gods before me. Part of the covenant given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Keep reading through those stories and you will hear a lot. Over and over again, the people saying, okay, God, thanks for the clarity about who you are, but now would you please tell us who we are? These questions continue through Jesus' time, and the people are working them out with great earnest. The religious establishment of the time thinks that they have it all figured out. They operate on the assumption that God works in such a way that you are either in or you are out. Keep the strict laws and those strict interpretation of the laws, and you are included in the covenant of God's grace. If you happen to be a tax collector, prostitute, leper, possessed by a demon, perhaps slave or Gentile, otherwise known as a non-Jew, you are out. And then Jesus comes along. Doesn't take much reading in the Gospels to pick up on the theme that Jesus is all about taking what people think that they know about God and the love of God and who they are as God's people and turning that upside down. Jesus spends a fair amount of time criticizing the religious establishment and bringing in all the folks to the table who have been cast out by those communities. In our story this morning from Luke, it probably doesn't surprise us to hear that Jesus would demonstrate the love of God by healing a slave. But that doesn't seem to be the focus of the story. It is the faith of the centurion that amazes Jesus. The centurion, where's he from? Capernaum, or at least that's where his latest assignment is. This is a border town where many soldiers are positioned to keep the peace so taxes and tolls could be collected. What does he do for a living? He commands with great authority 100 men, most likely belonging to the militia of Herod Antipas and the political, economic, and militaristic empire of Rome that has dominated the land and people of Israel for quite some time now. But he doesn't quite fit the mold. The Jewish elders of the community go to Jesus and tell Jesus, this centurion, he is worthy. He is loving. He is generous and has demonstrated compassion to the community. But that still doesn't make him a Jew. And that may not sound like a big deal to us, but it would have been a very big deal to the community in Capernaum and an even bigger deal to the early Christians decades later as they hear and transcribe this story because they were struggling mightily with many of the same questions we are asking today. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Who's in and who's out? We wonder about being spiritual or religious. For centuries, it was Roman Catholic or Protestant. The early Christian community struggled with defining the ways you were either Jew or Gentile. And the author of Luke Acts thematically isn't interested in telling a story of an either or God, but expresses a belief in a God that is both and. The centurion is both part of the Roman Empire and he is compassionate to the Jewish people. He is both a man set under authority and humble in his approach of Jesus. He is both a Gentile and a man of great faith. The ones who we least expect to be welcomed by the healing love of God are welcomed by a grace that knows no bounds. Who does not know the either or? The centurion's faithfulness did not depend on what we think his faith is about, or how we can define it, or how the house of Israel believed, or his social status, his economic status, or his place in the political empire. Jesus keeps turning on its head. As one preacher put it, the prevailing understanding of who was invited to the welcome table by his willingness to restore health based not who held the printed invitation, but on who by faith was willing to walk through God's front door of mercy. Despite who we think of who is allowed through the doors or to the table or into the love and grace of God, it is not up to us. We are followers of Christ. This is who we are. We give witness to the things that we believe, and we leave the rest up to God's providence and mercy. That is what God is up to. And our forefather in the Reformation, John Calvin, would be proud to hear that this is still an important part of our Christian identity today. Though it's not always easy to live out, especially when we are in relationship with those whose faith or practice of that faith is very different from our own. Author and theologian Brian McLaren wonders if it is possible for one to have both a strong sense of one's own religious identity and lives that out without hating, judging, making assumptions, or trying to convert the other person. Jesus shows us that it is possible. There is no mention of the centurion later in the Bible. There's no great conversion story. There's no baptism. It doesn't say that the man ever came to know about Jesus' crucifixion or resurrection, let alone believe in it. He believes that Jesus can heal his servant by merely uttering the word. And indeed, that is what happens. But perhaps more importantly, the centurion continues to be both a centurion and a compassionate man. He is both a Gentile and a recipient of the gracious love of God through Jesus Christ. Time and time again, Jesus shows us
that the healing power of God is not limited to who we think are in or out. We are followers of a living Christ who demonstrates for us that God's love is for both those of us who follow this faith and all whom God chooses. It's up to us to live it out with all those whom we meet. May it be so. Thanks be to God. The one to whom we trust, the one to whom we turn our lives toward, who has invited us to this table. And so whoever you are, however you feel this morning, and for whatever reasons that you are here, you are invited to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness or hurts you bear, know that it is our host who teaches, who heals, and who welcomes. Indeed, it is our Savior who invites us to trust him and to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right to give our thanks and praise to you, O God, a good and joyful thing. You are our creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, inviting us to live as your people. When we fell short and acted out of fear and doubt, you held our hand and walked with us out of the garden and into every corner of the earth. You continue to extend the hand of your steadfast love, faithful with us always, even when we turn away. In the words of the prophets, you challenge us to live in love and righteousness. But as we shrunk from that challenge, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, as love for a love-starved world. From the earliest days of creation to the most recent of days, you offer to be faithful to us. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, who meets us alongside the river, places of prayer in our homes and our everyday lives. Hearing our cries for help in the dark nights of the soul, you sent your Son Jesus to bring the light of your love, sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was friends of sinners. He shared your feast, waiting along with the world for justice, renewal, and new life. His life, his words, his death, his resurrection are mysteries we may not understand completely, but which we will proclaim with faith.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all he was. Christ will come again, blessing us forever.
Holy Spirit, move upon the gift of creation offered to us here at this table, that the bread may heal all brokenness, that the cup might fill us with grace. Then when you stand at the crossroad where injustice and oppression meet, may we join your compassionate voice in calling for life and hope for all of your children. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit and your holy people on the first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen.
We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends, welcomed them around a similar table, and on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took a common loaf and made it holy, just as he takes us, common people, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat his act again and again. And he did by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, he took his cup and he poured his wine into it. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
We break this bread, we drink this cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life and faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. This is the body of Christ, broken for each of us. Taste and see the wonders of God's grace.
And Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me."
Let us pray. Generous God, we rejoice in the grace and forgiveness and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be the bearers of the good news where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Good morning. My name is Jim Madore. I offer a praise and thankfulness. Next Saturday, Dottie will be my bride for 50 years. We thank her for that.
Good morning, Cam Mosgraber. Melissa, you touched me in your sermon. I am a mother of three such children who, for many reasons, do not or cannot be here every Sunday. But I'm looking at the open doors, and the doors here are always open to our children and to all of our members, who sometimes we walk away, but we know we're always welcome home. And for that, I feel very, very blessed, and I thank God for that. Thank you.
Jennifer Teal, prayer of concern and a prayer of joy. On June 14th, my father is going to undergo laparoscopic surgery to get his kidney removed, which is cancerous. But thank God it didn't spread anywhere else in his body, so it's an easy procedure, and he can go on with his life as normal. My prayer of joy is my brother Ben will embark today on his long journey to become a United States Marine. He's leaving in about an hour and off to Paris Island for 3 months of basic training, and I'm very excited for him. It's been a long process in the making, so just prayers for him too.
Adam Switzer, I'm speaking on behalf for my sister. It's actually a close friend of the family. She just lost her little girl yesterday due to miscarriage. So just ask for prayers for the family. Thank you.
Sue Mancini. Sherry McFarland got up and thanked everyone for their donations. However, I think all the cheers need to go to the people who keep saying, no, I will never do this again. Carol, yes, and Sherry and myself and a lot of other people who still show up and do it. And I think Sherry is the one that we do it for along with the church. And I think she needs a round of applause.
I have a couple of concerns and prayers. First of all, our own Karen Hall, who I just introduced as a new member a week or two ago, has just gotten a full-time job at the Bayview YMCA as the health and fitness director there. So congratulate Karen when you see her. And also prayers for safe travels for our son-in-law, Nelson Portillo. He's gotten a clearance finally to come home or come here to the States and to be reunited with our daughter Trina and his daughter Elena. And so he'll be flying into Buffalo at 10:30 Tuesday night. All of his immigration stuff has all been approved and everything, so they're looking forward to making a new home in this area, at least temporarily.
Good news. Good news.
Hello. I need to ask for prayers for a couple families in my preschool class, one of which, the grandmother, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. They're not sure what kind it is, but it's progressing very fast, and the family is, you know, trying to deal with that and other financial issues that are cropping up in life. And then another family who is between homes right now. Their house was condemned, and they've been kind of bouncing around, and it's a single mother with three boys, so I just ask for prayers for them. Thank you.
Let us pray.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're very prayerful today, so they are a lot of joys and concerns from our children this morning for a dad and a brother coming back from camping. Joys of playoff flag football, a prayer of concern that the fourth graders can't go to Seabreeze this year because there's no bus. It was definitely a prayer of concern. Prayers for music festivals. This one is one of my favorites. Prayer of joy for God's place. Amen. Prayers of joy maybe also concern for parents, for William and Nora going to kindergarten in the fall.
And mother.
Prayers for, Bennett has a lot of prayers today, for a dad that got a new job and an aunt that's getting married. Prayer for Alex's dad who got a headache yesterday. Prayer for a fish that died. And prayer for power that went out. And we're all excited about school ending. There's a good prayer. Prayers of joy and concern for kids starting middle school next year. Prayers for a mom who is gone this weekend and is coming home. Prayers of concern for all the sixth graders who are leaving Mrs. White and junior choir. And prayers for those who are at Holy Ghost Church this morning. One of our children saw an emergency vehicle there. I want to make sure that that family of faith is surrounded in prayer.
Let us pray. God of all new beginnings, we pray for a new beginning, one in which we sing your song of peace and justice. For we confess that sometimes we are too comfortable and too calculated to see the wonder of your world, to embrace the glorious surprises of your ways, to even see the need of your people. We know that often we waste our energy and our resources determined to manipulate and maneuver, forgetting that it is your world and your way, ignoring your promises, mistrusting your love. Release us from our need to control. Heal our wounded hearts. We know that the scars of our past have eroded our ability to trust. Help us to sing a new song, the song of faith, a song of trust, a song of joy. This morning we come praying for those in our country whose lives have been devastated by spring tornadoes and floods. May they know that they are surrounded by your love and our concern. Help us to reach out to those who are overwhelmed by the challenges of life facing them. Guide us to paths in which we can help offer support and comfort. And we pray for our partners in Green Island, Jamaica, as they began the construction of the long-awaited basic school. We give you thanks for this mission venture, and we ask that you be with this school as the building slowly rises from the ground and the vision of Christians beyond borders holding hands in joyful thanksgiving of your presence in our lives. And we also pray this morning for the friends and family members of Bill McMahon. We give you thanks that our lives crossed with his. Be with Elaine and John in their grief. May they know their church family is holding them in their hearts. And we ask that you hear us now as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Father, we give thanks for all you have done for us and continue to do for us through the Spirit, gift of your Spirit. You welcome us as part of your family and as members of your household. Help us always to show our gratitude, not only through these gifts, but also through our acceptance of others as a welcoming and loving community of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit to be God's people wherever we may be. Alleluia. Amen.
Good job, guys.